All right, so thank you so much. As you mentioned, I am... I am presenting on behalf of Dr. Lipton, and I want to acknowledge my co-authors, Raj Patel from the University of Pacific, and Tim Cutler and Marilyn Stebbins, also from UCSF. This project was funded by a grant from the Amgen Foundation, and all authors have no financial relationships to disclose. So I'm going to start briefly by going through the Medicare Part D program. Medicare Part D is a privately administered insurance program subsidized by the federal government. As of 2009, the government is subsidizing this program at just above 75%, but they intended for this to decrease over time. It was passed into law in 2003, and the first day of implementation was January 1st, 2006. And as most of you know, it represents the largest expansion of the Medicare program since 1965. So this is the basic benefit package for plans in 2009. CMS expects plans to look this way and meet these minimum requirements, although plans can offer, and most do, offer more than this. In this graph, the blue represents what the patient pays, and the white represents what the insurance company pays. And we've talked about this a little bit this morning, but that area right there is known as the coverage gap, or the donut hole, and this represents a part of which patients will pay 100% of their medication costs. So potentially there can be a significant amount of cost sharing for patients, and it is also noteworthy that these total drug costs are annual and they reset each year. So looking at this graph, you may realize that this represents a scheme that is the antithesis of what insurance means. Normally, the sicker you get, the more coverage you receive from your insurance. Here, sicker people end up paying more out of pocket than less. But there are systems in place to help those beneficiaries with low income pay for the cost of their medicine. For those with limited assets who make less than 150% of federal poverty level, there is a low-income subsidy available that can help patients save significant amounts of money on their prescription drug expenditures. In 2008, for a single or widowed person living alone, this represents a yearly income below $15,600 and assets worth less than $11,990. Those patients who are enrolled in both Medicare and Medicaid are dual eligibles. They automatically receive the maximum subsidy. And again, this income restriction is all or nothing. So at $15,601, you pay just as much as somebody with a lot higher income. So what about Part D is good for patients? It has decreased the proportion of Medicare-eligible beneficiaries without drug coverage by 60%. Additionally, a study recently published in JAMA showed that cost-related medication non-adherence and foregoing of basic needs such as food in order to pay for medicines have declined significantly since Part D was implemented. It should be noted, though, among the sickest patients, there has been no decline in cost-related medication non-adherence. So people do not fully understand the low-income subsidy. In 2008, while 1.53 million seniors applied and qualified for it, there are still an estimated 2.6 million eligible who have not applied. Because of this, a large number of patients who need financial assistance with Part D are not receiving it. And still, as of January 2008, 10% of beneficiaries have no prescription drug coverage. So why is this? It includes both. It includes people that aren't getting plans, that aren't enrolled in a plan. If you're not enrolled in a plan, you can't enroll for the subsidy. And it includes people that are in a plan that haven't applied for the subsidy. So there is an overwhelming number of plans for patients to choose from. And there may be too many choices and not enough unbiased information provided to help seniors pick the best plan. In 2008, the number of plans to choose from ranged from 47 in Alaska and 63 in Pennsylvania and West Virginia. Each of these plans have different premiums, deductibles, cost-sharing provisions, and formulary coverage. Imagine if your employer offered 63 plans. Poor health literacy can be another problem. Patients struggle with terms like brand, generic, premium, and copay. So for them, understanding details of Medicare Part D can be very challenging. Even patients who are enrolled in a plan that works well for them are not immune from these problems because each year plans change. Formularies will change, coverage changes. So every year, patients need to evaluate whether the plan that was best for them this year will still be best for them next year. CMS does give patients two sources of information for Part D, 1-800 Medicare phone number and the Medicare website. The Plan Finder tool on the Medicare website allows a person to compare costs of different plans for their particular medication regimen and enroll in a new plan. While the tool works great, it is only available on the internet, and an August 2008 survey found that 72% of respondents encountered problems navigating this website. And that was people that identified as computer literate, English speakers, cognitively intact, and the average education level was 13 years. So this is there's a whole other group that is probably going to have more problems than them. Another thing to mention, information provided by Medicare right now is only available in English and Spanish. So patients who can't read the language may be more prone to ignoring information sent to them by Medicare or their plan and rely on word of mouth. So we think this cartoon is a great illustration of the problem. So what about the solution? For us, we think that pharmacists can provide the solution. They are accessible in the community, knowledge about prescription drugs, and ideally positioned to serve as patient advocates. However, there's great variability among pharmacists in Part D knowledge and time available for one-on-one counseling to patients. So we chose to begin our training efforts with the future pharmacists who, while now in pharmacy school, can be a captive audience for learning about Part D. It was a lot easier to do that than to go to every community pharmacist and talk to them about this. So this provided the basis for Partners in D, a California research statewide research initiative to help underserved seniors navigate the Medicare Part D prescription drug benefit. It brings the expertise of pharmacists from 7 California schools of pharmacy to senior students and practitioners across health disciplines. The co-principal investigators, who are also my co-authors on this study, are Marilyn Stebbins and Helene Lipton from UCSF. The study I will be talking about today is a pilot project where we tried to determine whether pharmacy students can provide efficient and cost-saving community interventions to reduce out-of-pocket prescription drug expenditures of beneficiaries. Keywords here are efficient and cost-saving. We need to be able to help people save money and have it not take up much time, or the intervention will become too burdensome to carry out in the community pharmacy setting. This is why we chose to look at out-of-pocket cost savings per minute of counseling provided. So student pharmacists at 5 California schools of pharmacy were trained using a combination of didactic and problem-based learning. These innovations have been published elsewhere, but if anybody wants more information about them, I can talk about that later. They provided counseling sessions at community outreach events under the supervision of faculty preceptors. Outreach events were targeted to vulnerable populations. In this case, we looked for low-income beneficiaries with low education levels and limited to no English proficiency. The length of the counseling session was recorded to determine efficiency, so we recorded the starting and ending times. We also collected demographic information and used the online Plan Finder tool to enter information about the patient's medication regimen and determine annual costs for the patient's current plan and what would be the lowest cost plan for 2008. So here's a screenshot of what that Plan Finder tool looks like. So this is the entering the medication section. You have to select the correct medication, strength, and quantity for each drug. And once the correct information is selected, you can find out the costs and the plans by clicking continue. And that's what you get on this screen. So after a few seconds, you get this page, and at the top, you'll notice that patient has 55 prescription drug plans available with the zip code of 95621. The next important area to notice is the fact that the patient's current plan is listed first on this system, so that's the current plan. And it also happens to be more expensive than other plans available to the patient. So it starts with the least expensive plan and it'll just keep going for all 55. So the results of our study are as follows. 192 pharmacy students from 5 schools of pharmacy were trained, and they conducted 20 outreach events from November to December 2007. A total of 208 Medicare beneficiaries received one-on-one counseling from pharmacy students. The mean age of participants was 74. They are taking an average of 5 medications. They're 41% male. And remember, we were targeting the vulnerable, so 52% were receiving full or partial low-income subsidies, 40% had limited or no English-speaking proficiency, and 36% had less than a high school education. Data from 74 participants were excluded, with the majority excluded because they were receiving prescription drug coverage from sources other than a Medicare Part D standalone plan. So cost data from 134 participants were included in the analyses. The intervention lasted 43 minutes on average, and there was an average potential annual cost savings of $329, but it went all the way up to $3,086. Potential annual cost savings is the lowest the cost savings obtained if participants changed from their potential or from their current plan to their lowest cost plan for 2008. This worked out to an average potential annual cost savings per minute of about $10. Remember, we were targeting the underserved, so it's important to mention again that 52% of the patients in this study were receiving partial or full low-income subsidies, so their annual costs in general are much lower, ranging between $43 to about $300, and so the dollars saved as a percentage of total annual costs are always much higher for these individuals. So you can see from the range with the cost savings per minute, it goes from $0 to $120. And $0 saved means the person was in the lowest cost plan already. And so how often did that happen? Not often. So 90% of participants were enrolled in a plan that is more expensive than the lowest cost plan for their medication regimen. So these were personalized searches based on the medications they're actually taking. So this means we were able to save some money for the vast majority of patients that we counseled. Additionally, we were able to apply for the low-income subsidy for 10 participants, and if eligible, these participants would show even greater cost savings. The low-income subsidy, they have to apply through Social Security and or Social Services Administration, and then they will receive their decision in the mail. So we weren't able to determine if they actually applied, but it was pretty great that we think that they applied based on screening questions. So based on this pilot data, we concluded that the majority of Medicare beneficiaries can lower their out-of-pocket expenditures on prescription drugs, and trained pharmacy students can provide community-based interventions resulting in out-of-pocket costs savings. One limitation of the study I wanted to mention is that cost savings per minute we think is underestimated because the time of the session included time spent obtaining informed consent, and we had a whole battery of questions as it was part of a research study. Additionally, patients switched plans or were eligible for LAS. The session took much longer due to extra paperwork. Looking forward, we have now expanded our training to all 7 schools of pharmacy, established statewide community collaborations to target low-income beneficiaries, and the evaluation survey has been modified to more accurately represent how long this counseling session would take if implemented into community pharmacies. The next phase is in progress, and I attended the first event yesterday up in Pomona. So special thanks to everybody at UCSF that helped out and co-investigators from the other 6 schools of pharmacy. Okay, question?
Absolutely. Well, the worst piece of federal health legislation ever in history. you have a glimpse into the horror of this, and I'm sure you can further dilate the fact that 90% of these people fail the marketplace logic to get their best plan.
Right.
Is a huge indictment. So this, I would call this a very nice band-aid, and the pharmacy students are good. I mean, actually, to teach doctors CPOE, right? I mean, this is computerized drug order entry, right? It's like a big deal, and you can't get most doctors to do this. So we're expecting patients to be able to enter their drug regimen electronically like this. So, you know, obviously, it just seems a little crazy. I guess it would be interesting to capture some of the qualitative insights of sitting there working with these people on this. So I'm sure you probably, I mean, so not just how many minutes it takes, but what's really going on there. And actually,
right.
It raises the question about obtaining a drug history, which is also a huge challenge. So, you know, the assumption,
yeah.
The way you present it is people come in, they have a list of medicines, they know what they're on, you just enter it. But I'm sure that wasn't the case.
Right. I didn't want to focus on the negatives. So I started this project, I don't know, sort of not knowing too much about this. I just knew that I wanted to help underserved. And when you get out there, you know, this project didn't even go into the Medicare, Medis that are on Advantage plans, Medicare Advantage plans, where we found out that insurance companies get bonuses based on how many of these patients they can enroll. And so it's basically going door to door in the poorest neighborhoods and convincing people that they need this health plan. And often they can't see any doctors or any pharmacists anywhere near where they live. And it's just terrible.
Sometimes they're even told they'll lose their Medicare if they don't sign up.
Exactly. So we were able to, I mean, just out of 208, we found 3 of those. That we were able to, you know, quickly get them out of there.
We have 2 minutes, so I was wondering.
Hi, Lee Rucker, AARP Public Policy Institute. Was there any discussion or evaluation of the current, were there any clinical recommendations conveyed to the patients, or was it solely focused on the economics of choosing the best plan? And if there were not for this particular one, then could not, for example, AARP volunteers, as they have with their tax save program, also be sent out to help people with the sign up?
So there were some therapeutic interventions. So the reason, part of the training for the pharmacy students, because a lot of them, we were getting first-year students that didn't know very much about this. So there was a focus on changing generic to generics. There was a focus on some therapeutic applications if a patient wanted to stay in their plan and refused to change, and there were alternate medications that could lower their costs. There was a lot of phone calls made to try and help out with that. So there were some therapeutic interventions on behalf of the patient, but primarily this was a 10-hour training where the students learned about the system and what needs to be done.
And so your calculation of savings was just focused on differences in
yes.
the plan, and it didn't take into account if they
had... Right. So that stuff happened in addition to what we were doing. So this was just plan finder tool, click the button, okay, this is what they have, this is what they could be in. And then there was a lot of discussion. That's why we said potential cost savings, because sometimes people didn't want to switch plans, and sometimes there was a lot of things done after that. So this is just clicking the button on the screen and finding out the plan.
And we have 30 seconds.
30 seconds is right for what I want to say. I just wanted to follow up on Gordy's point. I want to continue to do this terrific project and encourage you, as you write it out, to proceed on 2 tracks, you know, act locally and think globally, and see in your write-up if there's something that you can include about the implications of what you learned from this project, the amount of, because from a system point of view, this is all, of course, wasted effort. You know,
right.
None of it is, it's all administrative overhead. None of that time is going into helping people with hairs and their diabetes regimens or doing other clinical meaningful things. It's costs that are being imposed on people at every level of the system, including practicing pharmacists. So if you can think in your write-up about trying to somehow tackle that piece, even as you correctly
Right, and I'll just finish with one statement. Medicare comes out every year with a satisfaction survey, and the scary part for us is that so many people are saying that they're happy, and we always say they don't know what they don't know, and so people don't know that there are other plans that might be better for them. You know, this is a totally weird system where your plan and your husband's plan can be totally different, and you could have, you know, completely different costs, and so just getting the one that Sally down the street had and you're happy with it, you don't even know what you're missing. So that's what we are trying to do.